When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brock Purdy has thrown 9 interceptions in 9 days of camp. 9 picks. I'll discuss that and more next on the Grant Cohn Show. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show. I'm Grant Cohn. I'm in my new spot. I'm in Levi's Stadium. The 49ers PR staff has graciously, generously set me up right here in this beautiful lounge. And we're going to talk about, I got a lot of stuff to get through today. I had an abbreviated show yesterday. This one's going to make up for that. I got like 10 topics to get through. We're going to start with the practice interceptions. Not to make you panic. The sky isn't falling, but if I waited, you'd want to, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. Let's talk about the practice interceptions. It's not the end of the world, but it is a pattern with Brock, and it continued today. It wasn't the only thing he did. He had some really nice throws. 2 deep ones in particular. Been waiting to see that part of his game. You know that Jimmy Garoppolo lost the capability and the willingness to throw that pass after he lost the Super Bowl. He just went in the tank. Not Brock. Brock's throwing those passes with confidence. He's still letting it rip. And he's still learning things in camp. This is where you make the mistakes. And there were 2 picks today. So before I judge them, let me just describe them so you can make your own judgment. First one, bracketed coverage. At least it played out that way. He's throwing to Ricky Pearsall. Covered man-to-man by D'Amador Lenore, who's trailing him. Then, over the top, Jair Brown. So trying to fit a pass in a tight window. That's what you want to do in practice. Throwing to Ricky Pearsall, you don't really know what's going to happen when you throw to him in traffic. You need to learn. So I'm not even being snarky. You could argue the first interception was a good practice interception because he learned something. He learned about Ricky. He learned that Ricky isn't necessarily the guy you want to throw that pass to. A lot of traffic, not a lot of separation. D'Amador Lenore hanging all over him, safety right there. Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of a window, but if it were Ayuk, there'd be a much bigger window because he has those long arms. If it were Juwan Jennings, there'd be a bigger window because he's 6'3". But Pearsall is like my size with short arms. He's me, essentially, in football player form. And I know I wouldn't be a reliable target over the middle, so I can only imagine. Kyle said that Ricky Pearsall reminds him of him. No. Reminds me of me. And that's not good. So good interception, good knowledge. You learn those. That's not how you use Ricky Pearsall. Pearsall needs to be someone running flat routes, outs, slants, one-on-one. You don't want him with a bunch of people around him because he's kind of, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm frail because I'm extremely handsome and built, but compared to football players, I'm extremely frail. And that's kind of what Ricky looks like. That was the first pick. Second pick. It's a little bit less clear what Brock should take away from it as a learning lesson. So it's just Debo one-on-one against Jair Brown. I think Brock saw the matchup and got excited. Like, oh, that's an advantage for us. It just turns out that it wasn't. For whatever reason, Jair Brown ran the route for Debo and was waiting for the pass when it got there. So those are the ones that look like Jimmy Garoppolo picks. Like, you didn't see the guy right? He's right in front of you. The receiver wasn't open. What was that? So to me, that was a quarterback predetermining a read to a player he trusts. Oh, it's Deebo. Oh, he's got a safety. Let's go. So what do you learn from that one? Don't just assume Deebo's going to beat anyone. I'm not saying don't throw to Deebo, but get some type of visual confirmation that he's winning the route first, which isn't what Brock likes to do. Brock likes to throw with anticipation. You can't wait for confirmation if you're throwing with anticipation, right? It's one or the other. Well, with Deebo, you may not want to throw with anticipation to Deebo very much because that's what happens. So I'm not, I mean, it doesn't mean that Brock's a fraud or he's going to have a terrible season, but he likes throwing picks in practice, right? I mean, he doesn't shy away from it. He embraces it. Well, those are the lessons he learned today. And I do think the one, the Pearsall is the most interesting one because that guy is supposed to be replacing Brandon Ayuk. And we still have no idea what Ricky Pearsall can really do in the NFL. I'm going to get to him. More on him in a minute. But first, I want to talk about Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk was at practice today. I love Ayuk Watch. It's so amazing. One day he's there, one day he's not. When he shows up, sometimes he daps the coach, sometimes he doesn't. Today, no dap. There were zero daps. No bro hugs. That's important. Sat in the shade next to Talanoa Funga for a long time. Drank water. Watched practice. Eventually left. Is this not bizarre? Like, I'm being silly and stuff, but it's bizarre. Like, why are you here, man? What is going on with this? I mean, there were reports a few days ago from, like, freaking Colin Cowherd and people that seemed legit. Like, hey, keep an eye out. This is going to get wrapped up. New deal. SF. Didn't happen. So, are people getting fed the wrong information? I mean, I had people DMing me last week being like, hey, deal's done. I'm like, I don't really know who you are, but thanks for telling me. Guess it's not. So are the Niners purposely feeding misinformation to people they think are leaking information just to find out who the rats are? Maybe. But let's take all the rumors and the whispers out of it. What do we see? What do we see? No progress is what we see. Ayuk showing up some days and not showing up some days. Nothing consistent. In fact, Ayuk looks like he's killing time? I mean, you would think that the 49ers would want Ayuk on the field as soon as possible. Like, they didn't trade him during the draft because they want him on the team, right? We're in all-in mode. We're got to get back to the Super Bowl. We're better with Ayuk than without Ayuk. Ayuk has to be here. Okay, so get him on the field. Because if you keep him, but he misses all of minicamp, OTAs, and training camp, and then shows up week one, he may be of no use to the team. He could get hurt immediately. He could be rusty. Or if he holds out into the season, he also isn't helping you. So instead of like trading him for someone who could help you, you have nothing. So you'd think you'd want him on the field as soon as possible, getting in football shape so he's ready to go week one. It's the whole point, right? Work something out. But they can't. And it seems like the Niners aren't particularly pressed to get him on the field. Does it seem like they care that he's not out there? I don't think it seems like they care that he's not out there. We're 9 days into camp and we're hearing no reports of progress between those two sides. So if he were going to play for the 49ers this year, you would think there would be some momentum. Like, hey, we got to get him on the field. There's a freaking preseason game in like 8 days. Need to get him on the field. Deebo Samuel requested a trade, and then he signed July 31st, 2 years ago. So it's already past the deadline. If they wanted him on this team, if they expect him to be out here, you'd think there'd be some urgency. If they were going to trade him. If they were going to trade Brandon Ayuk, then it's a whole different timeline. Because suddenly, it doesn't freaking matter to the Niners when they trade him. He's not going to be on the team this year. He's going to be on some other team. So why is it in the Niners' interest to trade him now? Well, so he could go to Team A, learn their playbook, develop chemistry with their quarterback, and have a great year? So the Niners could potentially lose that trade. No! Let's say you're going to trade Brandon Ayuk to whatever team, New England. You're really petty. Enjoy freaking Foxborough, Brandon. All right, well, you could do that in 3 weeks. Why help New England? You're getting a player, probably for a discount because he's requested a trade. So, yeah, you can get him 3 days before the season starts. Good luck. Have fun, Brandon, in Foxborough. That kind of feels like what's happening to me. I don't know. I've gotten so many tips and rumors from people who just want to help, saying, man, 4 years, 120, they're just working on the guaranteed money. Two, he's never playing for this team again. He's going to Cleveland. He's going to New England. Like, okay, well, I don't know. I don't pretend to have the information here. I don't think anyone does. And I think the Niners are purposely putting out misinformation. So I'm going to stay away from it. I'm just trying to interpret what I see. And it looks like they're letting Brandon twist in the wind. Like, hey, man, you try to embarrass us? You try to make this public? Okay. Well, we're done with you. You're never going to play for us again. And we're not going to tell you when we're going to trade you. So you're going to come up to practice one day and sit there like an idiot, feeling like an idiot, not knowing what we're going to do. And you know what? Good. Because we don't appreciate what you did this offseason. It was unprofessional. You made all this. I mean, I'm not saying I agree with the Niners. I'm just saying that could be the stance they're taking right now. Could be. Oh, you want to get traded, Brandon? You want to make this public? You want to make us look bad? All right. We'll trade you in a few weeks. So sit there. Hold that water bottle. Get up. Talk to Talano. You're not on this team anymore. We made you. We're replacing you. And we're not here to do right by you. No. No. You went on the freaking pivot. You tried to make us look bad. You said you wanted to play with Jaden Daniels. You started naming teams you wanted to play for? No. We're not sending you to the team you want to. We're sending you to New England. Have fun. I mean, are employers not that petty? I think they are. If you tried to do to your employer what Brandon did to his this offseason, they might get you back. They might transfer you to Albany, New York. Hey, it's really nice up there. Is that not, am I misreading this? To me, it feels like the Niners are sticking it to Brandon. Yeah, we'll trade you for sure. Not yet, though. You can hold out as long as we don't freaking care. Hold out, dude. We got Ricky Pearsall, Debo's. Debo's in great shape. Debo's practicing every day. Christian, we're good. We don't need you. We created you, and we'll create the next one. That's my best guess, man. But to be fair, my best guess changes every day, multiple times. But as of now, at 2:59 p.m. on August 3rd, that's my best guess. The Niners are messing with Brandon Ayuk, and he doesn't know what to do about it. And he's sitting there. Should I show up? Should I not show up? Should I dap up the coach? Should I dap up the G? Doesn't matter, man. They're being petty. They're getting you back for what you did. You'll get traded eventually, probably. But it's not going to be where you want to go. And you're not going to know the freaking system when you get there. Or the quarterback. I mean, wouldn't it just be like totally, I mean, if the Niners wanted like a little get back, a little revenge, Brandon, send him to freaking Cleveland. Dude, have a great time with Deshaun Watson. Enjoy Cleveland, man. They really gentrified that downtown. There's some things to go. Like, that is the best payback. Dude, have a great time. It's a destination. It's underrated, the town. And Deshaun, he's misunderstood. Like, ugh. I could see Brandon being like, you know what? I take it back. I don't want to go to Cleveland. I would rather play here on the fifth year option. I'm good. And the Niners be like, no. No, you said you wanted a trade. You said you wanted this. Deshaun is so enthusiastic about you. He's so dying to play with you. He can make all the throws, Brandon. This is what you wanted. Go be in last place in the AFC North and have a great time. Oh, you want to play for Pittsburgh? Cleveland's right next to Pittsburgh. No, it's not as good of a franchise per se, or as nice of a city, But it's a team. That's my best interpretation. I don't know. I'd love to hear what yours is. Manny PSF 95 says, did a player try to press you on yesterday's live? No. That was just a misunderstanding. I was in a different room. I hadn't communicated with the PR staff, and they were wondering why I was there. As you can see today, there has been so much communication, great communication. I'm sitting here. It's a great spot, and I want to thank the PR staff for hooking me up because, frankly, that room yesterday was kind of not that great anyway. I mean, the lighting was kind of intense. I was a little washed out. I mean, I'm a white fella by it, but you don't need to make it whiter than I already am. I got a little bit of a tan. You can see. Look at the lighting right now. Look at that backdrop. So that's all that happened. It's all about communication in life. That's what I've learned. All right, keeping going. Keep moving on. Ricky Pearsall, man. So the Niners taking a hard stance with Brandon Ayuk because they don't need him, right? They created Brandon Ayuk. He went to Arizona State, late first-round pick, blah, blah. He had a sophomore slump. He was nobody until this last year. So here comes Ricky Pearsall, number 14, smooth operator, good route runner. Pulls his hamstring. Okay, you want to be cautious with him. Pulled his hamstring. All right, but he's in practice, returning punts, doing lots of reps in 11-on-11s, blocking, running routes. Seems like he's practicing full speed in the individual drills, in the team drills. He's not wearing a blue non-contact jersey. He's out there competing. Saw him make a one-hand catch a couple of days ago when he was going against D. Winters, who was all over him. It was a very physical, violent play, and Pearsall came down with the ball. So there's no restrictions on him in 11-on-11s, but when they do one-on-ones, he doesn't participate. What the hell is that? Honestly, what the hell is that? We want to see you, Ricky. And I'm not blaming him. I'm not saying that Ricky's being like, hey, coach, I can't. What is the coaching staff doing? Don't tell me. Now, I should ask. I actually have a press pass, and I should ask. And I will. Kyle didn't talk today. He'll talk probably tomorrow. Hey, Kyle, how come Pearsall hasn't been in one-on-ones at all in training camp? Not one time. He's in 11-on-11s. I'd like to know. Is it because you feel that one-on-ones are more strenuous than 11-on-11s, that he's more prone to re-injury? I hope Kyle doesn't give me a snarky answer because it's a good question and I won't ask it in a snarky way. Like, what's going on with Ricky, man? Because in 11-on-11s, I'm not super impressed with Ricky. He's made a few catches. He hasn't beaten Lenore. He hasn't beaten Chavarius Ward. He's beaten Isaac Yiadom a couple times and backups. And when he goes against Renardo Green, he doesn't always win. In fact, he usually loses. Like today, Ambry Thomas gives him problems. Like, here's what I noticed from Ricky. And this is just from 11 on. I'd love to see him in one-on-ones. I know a lot more. Any corner who gets their hands on him at the line of scrimmage does well. He's really, really good against off coverage. So Isaac Yiadom playing 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. Man, you're going to get eaten up by a slant or a double move or whatever. If he gets a free release, he's quick and he's a good route runner. But once he has to get by a jam at the line of scrimmage, it really slows him down. And he really struggles disengaging and creating separation once that corner gets his hands on him. So Samuel Womack, Ambry Thomas, Rock Ya-Sin, whoever the hell it is, doing well against Ricky Pearsall in those situations. Now, maybe the Niners feel like the way they play, they're mostly going to get zone coverage and off coverage, and he'll be great. I don't know. All I know is in the playoffs last year, they got a lot of man-to-man coverage and press man-to-man coverage, especially in the Super Bowl. And I thought they were going to be looking for more people who could beat that. You know, can. Not Ricky so much. Not Debo. Ayuk to a degree, although he doesn't really have the speed or the size you're looking for to really be a matchup nightmare in man-to-man coverage. He's 6 feet tall and he doesn't have 4.4 speed, 4.3 speed. Juwan Jennings. Jawan Jennings, he runs like a tight end, but he runs routes like an excellent wide receiver. And he's not going to run away from man-to-man coverage, but he can create enough separation, and he has that huge freaking frame that even if he's not open, he catches the ball. So when you watch the one-on-ones, wide receivers, cornerbacks, to me, I think it's incredibly instructive because that's one-on-ones between those two positions is more like a real game than one-on-ones between O-line and D-line because those guys always work in a unit. O-linemen are never like in a, there's never a center in an island like that with no help left and right. So in one-on-ones with wide receivers and corners, I want to see who wins the most. And right now on the team, it's clearly Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is pretty much unguardable, uncoverable in one-on-ones, which is crazy because he's the slowest wide receiver. Ross Dwelly was the same way. For years, that dude in his 5-flat, 40-yard dash would win every freaking rep in one-on-ones, which just shows you that beating man-to-man coverage doesn't really have... It's not all about speed sometimes. Sometimes it's just knowing how to have it, give a little head fake, a little shoulder, something or other, and use your big frame. So, Ricky, dude, Kyle, we want to see your first-round pick in one-on-one drills, man. You can't avoid this all offseason. He's going to have to do it eventually. Because right now, like, this is one of the more questionable first-round picks in the league. You didn't give him a first-round grade. He got hurt right away. He's done next to nothing in camp. When are you going to ramp it up, man? It's not like Ayuk's coming back anytime soon. This guy is important. He needs to play. What is the deal here? Because if it ain't Ricky Pearsall out there, it's going to be like Chris Conley, who's fine, but he's 32. Like, he's not, he can't start for this team. It's got to be Pearsall if it ain't Ayuk. I don't think it's going to be Pearsall. Okay, moving on. Lamont 757 says, when are we going to realize Brock is Jimmy 2.0? So many drop picks last season. Even Ayuk's catch in the playoff was a pick city. Brock is not him, just one of them. I hear what you're saying. I do. I think Brock and Jimmy have more in common than people are willing to say. Where they really differ is their feet, their quickness, their professionalism, their seriousness. But in terms of throwing the ball, very similar. Very similar. And I'm with you on that. Like, Jimmy's interceptions are a thing that, like, sort of over time clearly show that he has an issue with this. With Brock, he's only started 21 games. We don't really know what his issues are, but over time, we will. All right. Let's talk Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason got in a fight today. That's not what I'm reporting. It was cool, though. Ezekiel Turner knocked him down. Then Mason got up, knocked him down. Fair is football. He gave an interview today, Jordan Mason. It was the first time they ever brought him in to the podium. That's when you know guy's a player, that they take him seriously. They brought him into the podium. Like, they haven't brought in Elijah Mitchell yet. Jordan Mason, first guy of the day. And he gave the most interesting answer. I'm going to post the interview later. Shout out to Larry. He asked this question. We were tag teaming it. I don't know if you guys watched, but me and him were asking good questions. He asked Jordan Mason, dude, you've been really successful in your career. You're averaging more than 5 yards a carry. No, that wasn't the question. That was another one from Larry. He said, what is your relationship like with Bobby Turner? And Mason, who doesn't know what he's not supposed to say yet, doesn't go up there thinking about, you know, let me give a coach speak answer and get out of here. He's like, oh, well, you know, Bobby Turner used to really not like me. We didn't get along at all. We're like, what? Oh, so this is why you never played the last 2 years. He was like, yeah, man, like Bobby Turner, he didn't like me at all. I just didn't understand the things he was trying to coach. I was just doing everything my own way. In the meetings, he would ask me questions. I wouldn't know the answers. And I would just tell him, like, coach, I don't know the answer. So, I mean, it's just so, I mean, I wasn't going to say heartbreaking because he's a success story, but it was so interesting to see someone be that vulnerable, open, honest. Like, yeah, like, you almost forget how young these players are sometimes. They're really young. In certain cases, they're like big kids. It's like, oh, you didn't get it? Like, you didn't get that if Bobby Turner says you got to do XYZ, you got to do XYZ? Well, you figured it out now. Like, I mean, you know, better late than never. But yeah, like, It was always the biggest mystery. How can Jordan Mason be so good? How could a running back average more than 5 yards a carry and not get playing time? Well, Bobby Turner is one of the best coaches ever. One of the best running back coaches ever, for sure. He's coached Hall of Famer. He has a standard. And just because some young running back has had a few good carries and has a nice yards per carry average early in his career on limited attempts doesn't mean he's going to force his way on the field without pleasing Bobby Turner and going over the hurdles and doing the homework, the things he asked him to do. So it was just really interesting for Jordan to be like, yeah, man, I had to really win over Bobby. I had to learn to be a student. I had to learn to take everything seriously about my job and not just running the ball. And now he says he sits next to Christian McCaffrey in every practice, in every meeting. He knows the answers. He's catching passes. He bought his own jugs machine this offseason. I mean, he's doing everything right. He's 24 years old. His frontal lobe probably isn't fully finished forming yet, but he's got it. That's a great story, right? I should have just went up to him in the locker room and been like, Jordan, what is the deal? Why won't they play you? And he would have been like, oh, I'm not prepared. I didn't do my homework. It's crazy. They told me to read these things and know these things. I didn't do it. And they won't play me. But he gets it now. And he's not starting fights in practice, but finishing them. I'm a big Jordan Mason fan. I'd like to get a jersey. I want to wear that 24 around town for the people who know. Oh, you're a Jordan Mason fan? Oh, yeah. You got to love a player who's just honest. Oh, yeah, there's a reason I wasn't playing. Oh, no, I totally get it. I wasn't, but I'm doing it right now. Good for Jordan. I want to talk about Chris Forrester, who was one of the guys putting Jordan Mason in the doghouse. Chris Forrester spoke today, and Chris Forrester might be my favorite person to interview. Like, he's a classic old school coach in the sense that he's a teacher. So if you ask him a football question, he can't resist. He's going to tell you in 5 minutes the answer. Not like the PG-13 version of the answer or like the answer that Kyle Shanahan would allow. It's the answer. And I love that. That's how coaches should be, man. Like, you're an expert on this. Share. So he does. I asked him, like, hey, on most teams, the quarterback sets the protection at the line of scrimmage. That's when you see, like, so-and-so says, 58's the mic. You saw Peyton Manning do that a million times. Tom Brady points at a linebacker. So-and-so's the mic. That sets the protection for every offensive lineman. It's key information. Quarterback has to make that determination at the line of scrimmage. Not in the Niners. They have one of the more cerebral, smart quarterbacks in the league in Brock Purdy, and they won't let him do that. Packers let Jordan Love do it. I mean, most quarterbacks do it, but not on this team. So I asked Chris Forrester, like, why do you choose to give that responsibility to the center? And he was like, that's a great question. Let me give you a...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A tutorial from 5 minutes. Let me give you a whole breakdown. He's like, look, in our system, it's too much motion pre-snap. Way too much going on pre-snap. The picture keeps changing. And it just doesn't work for the quarterback to do it. Now, what I want to say is I appreciate that he gave the answer, but I didn't really quite get it or follow. Because he's saying the picture changes, so you can't let the quarterback do it. Well, if you have all this motion, and the picture's changing, it's going to change for the center too. He has the same problem. You just did three motions and three shifts in a motion. Yeah. So instead of the quarterback having to deal with the changing picture of the defense and not everyone moving, the center has to deal with it. So mid-answer, Chris Forch was like, yeah, you know, like I was looking last year and Jake Brendel had so many more missed assignments than I would expect. Like, yeah. And then he gets it a three-point stance and demonstrates why it's difficult for the center to actually see who the mic is and where the potential blitzers are because he's in a three-point stance with kneecaps in his face. So he described it as a turtle trying to poke his head out of his shell. That's a great image. It's the perfect image. So as he's giving the answer, I'm like, so you're with me, right? Like, the quarterback should set the protections. Final thing he said, he was like, I used to coach on the same team as Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning did all of this. He set the protections. And he said there was one playoff game where they were losing and they were getting blown up by pressure. And at halftime, Peyton says to the whole coaching staff, look. Just give me one formation, whatever it is, 2x2, whatever. Give me one formation, no shifts, no motion, just be static at the line of scrimmage so I can get the same freaking picture from the defense every time. And when they bring pressure, I'll recognize it and I'll get the ball where it needs to go. And they won. So that's an incredible adjustment from a Hall of Fame quarterback who had a great arm, but also a great mind. He was a freaking offensive coordinator for himself. That was the adjustment to beat pressure. You know what? Enough of this motion. We don't need to trick them with scheme and formations and motion. Just give me the freaking ball and let me read their mail and I'll win. All right. Okay, cool. I'm not saying Brock's Peyton Manning, but he's very smart. In the Super Bowl, did the Niners not have an issue with freaking pressure? The center, Jake Brendel, who missed a lot of assignments all year, according to Chris Forster, is in charge of setting the protections. And all we know is the Chiefs had 9 unblocked rushers. 9. So clearly, he didn't do such a great job of setting the protections. Clearly, having all that shifts and motions didn't help the 49ers in the Super Bowl. He scored 19 points in regulation. In fact, you could argue the Niners' system, their scheme, which requires hella motion and requires the center to be the guy who sets the protection, hurt them in the Super Bowl. You could argue, since they have such a good quarterback, all they needed to do at halftime was scrap the shifting and the motion, give Brock one freaking formation that was static, and tell him, dude, you pick up the pressure. Because you're good, we trust you. But they won't do that because on this team, the scheme will always be more important than whatever quarterback they have. They could have Tom freaking Brady and Kyle would be like, yeah, sorry, Tom. Like, I know you've been setting protections your whole life, but, you know, we have these motions and shifts and it just doesn't work for our system. So we're going to let Jake Brendel set the protections. You're great. The GOAT, for sure. But on our team, Jake does it, and he makes the wrong call a lot. He has an astounding number of missed assignments. Just ask the offensive line coach. On the record, he'll tell you. But sorry, Tom. That's just the system. If that's just the system, there's something wrong with the system, man. It can't be that rigid. It's got to be more flexible. What if you have a great quarterback? Like, do you want one, right? It seems like this system is made for non-great quarterbacks. Guys who are replaceable. Hey, we don't want you to think. Just go out there and let it rip. Like, no, I'm a top 10 quarterback. You're going to give me $60 million a year, right? So give me control. Don't delegate that task to Jake Brendel so he can mess it up. Give it to me. I want it. I'm ready for it. Jordan Love can do it. He's in the same freaking... And that's another thing. It's like, Coach Forster, I appreciate the answer, but like, your system is being run all over the league by people who were colleagues of freaking Kyle in Washington, not subordinates. They let their quarterback set the protections. So, I don't know. It was a cool answer, but it also kind of felt like a Kyle Shanahan approved answer. Like, you know, Kyle's got the best system in the world, and this is what works, and you can't question the system because it has great results. It's like, eh, you haven't won a Super Bowl. You don't empower your quarterbacks. When you get to Super Bowls, you can't pick up a blitz or block anyone. So I think they should reexamine this one. How do you give Brock Purdy $60 million a year next year and say, we still going to let Jake Brendel set the protections? What? After you said he doesn't do a good job at it. I mean, God forbid Brock ever gets injured on a play where there's an unblocked rusher because the center didn't set the protection correctly. God forbid. Anyway, I appreciate Chris Forrester for giving us so much to talk about. I just disagreed with his answer. But that's okay. That's what, you know, that's what life's all about. Okay, it's time for some sleeper picks. And before I make the picks, I want to say that I don't think I've really been making this clear. I'm trying to give you guys money. Like, I'm trying to Venmo you guys money. Help me help you. This is what I'm thinking, all right? You go on the sleeper app. If you've never placed a deposit before, download the app. Put a $10 deposit down on whatever. I'll show you how to do it. Use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. Take a screenshot. DM it to me on Twitter. I will Venmo you or Apple Pay, PayPal, whatever, however you want to get paid. $15. You put down 10, I send you 15. So here's the math. With the $10 wager you make on Sleeper, they match it. So now it's a $20 wager. If you lose, you still profit $5. The worst case scenario from this transaction is you gain $5. If you win, you could win hella money. And I'll show you how much money you can win on a $20 deposit right now. So again, put down 10, promo code CONE, send me the screenshot that you use promo code CONE, I send you 15. Worst case scenario, you make $5. If you lose, best case scenario, they take that 10 bucks, match it, it's a $20 deposit, you win, and you profit. And you thank me when you buy something, when you're having a good day, you say, that Grant Cone, that was so generous. Why did he do that? I don't know. I don't know how his mind works, but he's so nice. And now I have $5 that I wouldn't have had otherwise. I'm going to go get a taco, one taco, because that's all you can get now for $5. It's crazy. Okay, let's make some picks. Giants. I'm watching the Giants these days. Blake Snell threw a no-hitter. Zero hits in a game. It was incredible. Logan Webb threw a shutout. I picked against him like an idiot. Hold on, here are my picks. I got all of them wrong. Look at that. All of them, except for Matt Chapman. Ha! Some of the worst picks you'll ever see. So if this is you, you still would win $5 because I gave it to you because I'm just the nicest person. Okay. Some people do this too. They hit me up on Twitter and actually get their money. I was like, I don't know what you're waiting for, man. Free money? Okay, Kyle Harrison, lefty. De La Salle, local product. 11 Ks in the last... Damn! I didn't even know that. All right, Cincinnati, though. I feel like he's got 4.5 Ks. I feel like he's got that. 2.5 earned runs? The Niners haven't... I mean, the Giants haven't given up an earned run, or a run, for that matter, in multiple games. So why don't we pick Kyle Harrison to go less on the earned runs? Yeah. Chapman. Wait, I like Wade. Good player. Hits. Yeah. Wade, you're getting a hit. For sure. Ramos? No, you're striking out. Striking out. But are you going to strike out two times is the question. I don't like it. About hits. Hits. No, I don't like it. This is my method of making picks. I look at something and I go, and eventually I make a decision based on mathematical analytics. I use analytics. Okay, yeah, more. Yeah, that last growl but put me in that direction. Patrick Bailey. What a player he is. Hits. Oh, he's not getting them. I'm saying less for Patrick Bailey. And then I'm going to do my customary Shohei Ohtani pick just because I'm a big fan. because he might be making picks too. We don't know. He might be making picks too. Bases, hits. Oh, he's in a slump. He's in a big time slump. What's the strikeout situation? Oh, it's a tough one. Runs. Oh, see, that's the one I like. Runs. Uno. I'm picking it. You got to find the pick that speaks to you. And that one spoke to me. So here, five picks, 25 down. I know you're putting down 20. 10, but they match the deposit. So five picks to win $286, which I'm going to win. So this is, you could win $5 if you lose, or you could win $280-something dollars if you get it right, which I'm going to. Boom, done. Please come claim your free money at the front of the store. Thank you. I hope I made that clear. All right. Free money. My guy, Grant, I'm back tuned in, says NPatillo63. I was wondering, is NPatillo63 tuned in? I know he was tuned in. Is he tuned in again? And the answer is absolutely yes. So thank you. Okay. Let's go through the rest of camp and the players who aren't like headline material, but you want to know about, because it's freaking 3:27 on a Saturday in August. And you're watching me talk about practice. You guys are serious football fans. So let's talk about Jordan Elliott. Most people don't know who that is, but you're a 49ers fan and you're like, oh, Jordan Elliott. Yeah. He came from the Browns, backup D tackle, might be good against the run. Haven't really heard much from him in camp. What's the story with Jordan? Oh, good question. Glad you asked. He killed it today. He was great. It's phenomenal. Excellent in one-on-ones. Excellent in team drills. Had like 3 sacks. He's big. Way bigger than Malik Collins. Nothing against Malik. Nothing against people who aren't that big. He is bigger than me. But Jordan Elliott, really impressive. I think that was a good addition to the team. I think he is going to play a major role. I don't think the Niners have really figured out what their starting four on the D-line is going to be. Obviously, Bosa and Hargrave, they're getting paid. But after that, Elliott, Collins, Gross Matos, Floyd, it's whoever's playing the best. And we know the Niners have an issue stopping the run. And it looks like Jordan Elliott's the most powerful of the Niners' defensive tackles. Seems like Collins and Hargrave are good at working edges as pass rushers, which is good. But Elliott looks like he can collapse a pocket, like he can withstand a double team, like he can stop the run and pressure the quarterback. So wasn't expecting Jordan Elliott to take over a practice, but he did that today. Took over the practice. At certain times, it was like, Jordan, would you please let the 49ers offense practice? Like, you're going to make the team, man. You made it. Good job. Way to bring the full effort today. You proved your point. Now let someone else do something. You're the best. You win. Hooray for Jordan. No, it, seriously, he was great. Really good player. I didn't think anything of him until today. I was like, oh, damn. Good signing. Haven't had that feeling yet with Malik Collins or Leonard Floyd. Like, oh, you can take over a practice if you want to. Jordan Elliott took over a practice today. Now. He's going against the Niners offensive line, which isn't good, is the word I was looking for. But still, so is Hargrave. So is Bosa. So is Bosa. Elliott was the guy who stood out today. I thought you'd like to know that. More backups. Cody Schrader. I think I've talked about him a little bit. He is unquestionably the best rookie in camp. Ricky Pearsall has proven nothing. Renardo Green is good. Dominic Pooney, promising. Malik Mustafa, promising. Isaac Arendo, injured. Jacob Cowing, injured. So you got 3 promising rookies. Also, Tatum Bethune, promising. Making plays. But that running back, man, every day. And what I like about Schrader is on the outside zone runs, he's very decisive. He can get to the edge, but he doesn't have like Mostert speed. He's not just going to outflank the defense. He has very good vision and timing and feel for when to cut back. And then on the inside runs, I mean, he's little. He's like 5'8", stocky. He's completely fearless. And he has a good feel for like that pick and slide motion. Gets the ball, makes one little slide to the side. Boom. Hits a crease. 7-yard gain. He's just got a really good feel for both the inside zone and the outside zone, which makes me feel like this is a Bobby Turner special. Remember, Bobby Turner was coaching outside zone in Ohio State with Robert Smith and Purdue with Mike Allstott. Like, he knows what it should look like. He can scout. He doesn't need numbers. He can just eye test it and get guys who are undrafted free agents. Been doing it since the 90s. So I'm thinking he looked at Schrader, who was one of the more productive running backs in college football last year, if not the most. He was like, yeah, good fit. Decisive, good vision. Gets downhill. No nonsense. That's what I see. Makes one cut. No matter what kind of run it is. I can't wait to watch him in preseason. He's going to get a lot of action. Because Christian McCaffrey isn't going to play. And Elijah Mitchell, I mean, he's kind of gets hurt a lot. So I don't know how much he's going to play in preseason. It's going to be Jordan Mason, Patrick Turner II, and Cody Trader. And I expect Jordan Mason and Cody Trader to be one hell of a 1-2 punch. They're going to set up these quarterbacks for success. Speaking of quarterbacks, Tanner Mordecai. He threw 5 passes today in camp. Yeah, Tanner. You know what? He looked pretty good. I'm not saying he looked pretty good. That's high praise. But he looked pretty good. Completed his first 3 throws. Got the ball out of his hands quick, decisive, accurate. Kept the chains moving. Last 2 throws, he throws a deep pass that's honestly pretty good. It's just, it was covered well. I'm trying to look for it in my notes. Yeah, he threw it to Malik Turner, who pulled his hamstring on the play. And it was covered by Rockison. Good coverage. I thought it was a good pass. He's a strong arm. Then the next throw, he throws the ball to Trent Taylor over the middle, who was running a curl route and just misses him by a mile. So that wasn't great. I'm not saying Tanner Mordecai is the next starting quarterback of this team, or I'm not saying, I don't even know what I'm saying, but I like him. Everyone misses throws every once in a while, Brock included. And this guy seems like he's got a freaking cannon. And it looks like a good athlete too. It's another player I'm looking forward to watching in preseason. Tanner Mordecai. Brock shouldn't play. Don't need to see him. And then obviously you want Allen and Dobbs to get most of the reps because whatever. They're getting paid and they're competing. But Mordecai is by far the most interesting one. He's going to be on this team for a few years. I'm not sure that Allen and Dobbs will. So. Tanner, great name. Any name with an ER at the end is just a phenomenal name. Chipper. Shooter. It's a guy, it's a man of action, you know what I mean? Because you got like a verb in the name. The name is like, I'm freaking Tanner. Yeah. I mean, it's a noun. But it implies that you do something. My identity is defined by the action that I take. You know? Tanner. I'm a chipper. I'm a shooter. Love that. I want to change my name to something like that. You know? What would you be if you had an ER name? Those are the coolest names. Brock is also a cool name. I need suggestions on names that I can change my name to. And Patillo, next show with Larry, could you both talk about the O-line? You both seem to have different perspectives. Tune in. Oh, sure. You think this is good? I've seen some tweets from other people saying that they think the Niners offensive line has been good in camp. I would have to disagree. Let's talk Cam Latsu just because it's a day that ends in Y. I feel like we have to keep talking about him because he was a 3rd-round pick, but we're not going to be talking about him much more. I don't think he's going to make the team. He was hurt today or something. He didn't practice. I don't know what the issue was, but he's hurt all the time. And when he plays, he's not good. I just don't think he's got it. Like, forget the fact that just catching the ball is an adventure for him. Once he does catch it, holding on to it's an even bigger problem. You can hear it. When in the rare occurrence that he catches a ball, you hear all kind of players on the field being like, punch it, punch it, punch it, punch it, which is like, yeah, they're practicing, their coach should do that all the time. But I don't hear him saying that like that when other people have the ball. It's like, there's like a level of like excitement. Like, I'm getting this ball. I'm making this team. Thank you, Cam. So if you can't trust him to catch it or hold on to the ball, I just think that you can't play in the NFL. Maybe he should go back to linebacker. I don't know. Used to play linebacker. He looks like he could be a D-end. He looks freaking huge. He looks like he's in great shape. I don't think tight end is a position for him. Because he can't even get open either, like in terms of route running. One of the worst picks they've ever made. Third round pick. It's in there with like Trey Sermon and Ty Davis Price. Just awful. He seems like he's doing everything he can, though. It's just not in the cards for Cam. Sorry. Oh, man. I'm just really enjoying sitting here right now. It's a great backdrop. Look at the lighting. You got those gold footballs over here. That's just classy. And then you got, this is where people like get concessions during games. Do you understand how much money people spend to be down here? What a privilege. What a privilege. What a generous organization. I'm loving this right now. Look at this carpet behind me. That's nice carpet. And the hardwood floor. Damn. Jed. Go easy on him, Jed. You're killing him. Man. Over here with the nicest stadium in the biz. SD Niner says, can the press request to speak to Ayuk or talk to him yourself, Grant? Go get that interview. Didn't he already do one on ESPN where he laid out? He talked for an hour. He did that. I don't know. It kind of feels like the Niners have been like, hey, man, we'll trade you, but like you need to stop doing the stuff on social media. So if you can like go a week without doing stuff on social media, then maybe we'll trade you. Did you guys think of that? Did you interpret it that way? Think about that? Are any of you guys going to DM me about the sleeper picks? I'm trying to give you money. You guys don't even want money. That's what I learned about you. Disappointed. Also, 1,600 people here right now. Would you guys like my stream for the algorithm? For me? You don't have to like me, but would you like the stream? There's a difference. You could hate me, but you still got to like the stream. I'm begging you. Please. Whoever picks these players needs to be fired. Well, I mean, you know, they're a pretty good team. I wouldn't fire Kyle per se, but would I trade him? Like, yeah. They haven't traded a coach in a long time in the NFL. They got to bring that back, dude. That would be so fun. How about a coach swap? Trade Kyle for another coach. Would you do it? How many coaches would you trade Kyle for? I'd like to know. Next at 11. Someone should ask, hell yeah, I ate the lobster rolls. What do I look like? Some guy who's not going to eat lobster rolls? You know what I'm saying? Hell yeah, I ate the lobster roll. I ate that for breakfast. They brought that in at like 9:30 in the morning, and it was like, oh, we're going to put it on ice, and it'll be here at 1:30 when you get back. Hell no. I have no room temperature lobster. I'm eating that now. And you know what? It was delicious. I loved it. And then I came back in the afternoon, they had some roast beef sandwich. It was great. I ate that too. I don't know why I'm mad about it, but I'm mad at how much I liked it. I loved it. Pissed me off how much I liked it. Made me kind of pissed that I liked it so much. Then I had some fruit and some water. And that was really healthy and good for me too, and that pissed me off. I don't know. That was nice though. Lobster rolls. Whew. Whew. All Niner. Says, yo, I realized Kyle is spoiled. He has weapons galore down to a fullback, and he underuses all of them besides CMC. He reminds me of a car collector. It's pretty astute. Yeah, he has this whole like garage full of cars, and it needs to have, you need, is, you know, you have to fill up the whole 6-car garage, and they have to be these really super impressive cars that he can show off to his friends, but really he's not driving them. He's driving his Hyundai, his daily driver. Bet no one has thought to practice the new kickoff yet. No, they have. Jack Newman says, who are the starting safeties going to be? I mean, it's going to be Jair Brown and George Odom until Talanoa Funga comes back. I think George Odom has been one of the underrated stories of camp. Everyone kind of just felt he's a placeholder, right? Well, he's holding his own. He's holding off Malik Mustafa. We'll see what he does during preseason. It's hard to judge safeties in practice. I thought Tavarius Moore was good because in practice he would intercept passes. In games, it's like, oh, you don't know what angle to take. You can't tackle. You can't play. So, but Odom, good question. All right, guys. I'm having a great day, and that's really pissing me off. So I'm going to end this stream now and try to calm down in my car because I'm just so happy. And again, nothing pisses me off more than feeling joy. So I have to reconcile that. Thank you for watching. I'll be back tomorrow because the Niners practice again. No days off until Monday. When that'll be a day off. But that day, I'll be coming down here and interviewing coaches. Coaches. So, there's always something happening, man. Stay tuned. Have a great Saturday night.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.